As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I just want to share some thoughts reminding us to love the Lord Jesus as we should, to exalt and glorify him and allow him to, the Spirit of God, to glorify him in our lives. And it's kind of interesting, the Lord, two different, very different things have, the Lord has kind of wanted me to put those two things together with a challenge to my own life and to brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would, our walk with Jesus would not be just kind of ordinary, but that God would be free to do whatever he wants to do through us to lift up and result and love and exalt Jesus Christ. We are reading through the Bible again, and being in Matthew, in this passage here in Matthew 26, something just once in a while, God will just grab your attention, and haven't been able to get away from it in this whole situation where this woman was prompted somehow by the Lord to do this thing that seemed out of extraordinary to the disciples. They felt this is like a waste. But she was exalting and lavishing love on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made it clear to that she has done a good thing. And even that it had a significant purpose. I woke up the other morning thinking the word lavish, and it only had to come from the Lord because I don't think about lavish very often. But lavish is really extravagance and costly and precious. And what she was doing was lavishing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the very neat things that he said, wherever this gospel is preached, we're talking about it again today, that what she was willing to do and what the Lord Jesus Christ accepted. I got thinking about that word, and I it's in the NIV to use the word lavish, but I share this from what John was writing in 1 John in chapter 3, get there in a moment, where he said this, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." And he goes on to say, it's not just that we're called that, we are his sons. NIV has it that the Father hath lavished on us to be the sons of God, to be called the sons of God, and that's what we are. And she was demonstrating a lavishing of love and something precious on the Lord Jesus. And I put the verse in there, we love him because he first loved us. And I'm just thinking how he lavished his great love and work upon us, and then we should lavish on him. And anyway, he really lifted her up and exalted her. And I read on further than that because I thought, what a contrast. Judas right in the midst, and what's on his heart is to enrich himself by selling Jesus. And what a contrast with that woman. Mary and I have been working on a passage for scripture memory this week, or this month, it's a quarter, from Revelation 5, 6 through 14. And this is the other passage that the Lord kind of wanted me just to share on. And in this passage, John, of course, is witnessing this future scene where nobody's worthy. An angel said, who is worthy to take the scroll or the book out of the Father's hands and open the seals? And it seemed that nothing Nobody was able to be found to that. And John says, I wept much. Surely somebody can do it. But then all of a sudden he said, don't weep. The Lion of the tribe of Israel is here. And he went and took the book out of the Father's hands. And I just share two verses. It's 11 and 12 out of Revelation 5. And I share this as a scene that is future and will be there. In Revelation 5, it talks about the 24 elders, and most believe, and I agree, that that is representative of the redeemed that are home with the Lord that are there. But verse 11 says this, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. I always have to stop and think. 10 to the fifth times. Anyway, what a multitude. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And I guess every day as we quote that together, I have to think, that's going to be amazing. To be in the presence and see our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain to get people out of every tongue and nation and language and redeem them. And my thoughts continue to go back. We shouldn't have to wait till then. we should, in some ways, in our mindset, in our devotion to Christ, do what we can so he's honored and praised here. Because we're the recipients, and we will have a time in the future, in an ongoing way, to exalt him and to praise him in his presence. And that's what I just, in this matter of, on this side of glory, by faith, to know what he's done, to be changed by him, that we would bring that kind of praise and honor to him in whatever way he can do through our lives. And I know that over the ages and over the centuries, people have done that with spiritual messages. People have done that. We know some of the God-stirred poets to write poetry, all sorts of ways that God has brought honor and glory to himself, even as that woman put all that precious ointment on him to honor him on this side of glory. By their lives, by their testimonies. And so I guess I'm trying to say, I come away from that passage of scripture and say, God, we need to do that now. Our Christian life should not be just some ordinary, not bringing a great deal of praise to Jesus, but a lot of praise to him and that he could use us. I think of Paul. To me, he's a great example. But Paul in Philippians 1:20, he said that my desire is that he would be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. And I think that is what Paul was expressing, is what I'm trying to communicate, that we really desire day in and day out that somehow Jesus Christ will be magnified through our life and exalted. Now, I know the disciples, this was before Pentecost, and they would have declared different after Pentecost, I'm certain. But they were indignant. What's this waste being to be placing on the Lord Jesus Christ? We cannot in any way overly lavish our lives, our devotion upon our Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to share a little bit about how that can happen while we're with him, to be with him. I maybe could have called this to be with him. I called it loving our Lord Jesus like we should. But I think how he, in John 14, how he shared with his own that I am going and I'm preparing a place for you and I'm coming again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. All the way through New Testament with Jesus Christ, you find out it was so important for him to be with him. There's a song, in fact, by the name of To Be With Him Will Crown It All, speaking of that day when we're home with him. Jesus then shared how the Father would send the Comforter, and he said, I will come to you. And so he's come to live in us. Peter shared it this way, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy and unspeakable and to be full of glory. Let me share a little bit about ways to be with him. But I think what I'm really wanting to communicate is that God wants us to have a deep desire that Jesus Christ would be magnified, like Paul was saying, that somehow he would be seen in my life, that people would see that he's at work, that he's real. One of the passages, and I Revelation 3:20. Jesus, in his message to the church at Laodicea, said, you're distasteful to me. In fact, he said, I could spew you out of your mouth. You're neither hot nor cold. They said, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They were a worldly. He was speaking to a church that generally was caught up in worldliness. But the neat thing to me is that he gives the invitation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And this is to a worldly Christian. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I'll come in with him, into him, and we'll sup with him. We're going to have fellowship together. And that's what he desires, to have that kind of intimate relationship where he can do through our lives what is on his heart and what needs, what God can do through our lives. Back in John 14, where Jesus said, he that believeth in me and my Father, if any man will keep my words, my Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's right before he describes this relationship of abiding in John 15. That's another way to be with him, to live with him, to walk with him, to trust in him. And abiding is, it's him working through us, which is an amazing thing, that just as a branch, he will do his work through us. And then Matthew 11:28-30, another way of looking at it, where Jesus invites us to come to him if things are too heavy to carry, which, boy, if you're really honest and know Christ, you really need to have him carrying it with you and for you. And so he says, come to me and I'll give you rest, which we've shared before. His rest is not inactivity, but it's his activity and him working through us to do his will. And so he invites us to yoke up with him and allow him to do through us and in us what's on his heart. So I just think some of these things to be with him. In 1 John chapter 1, he says, if any man is in darkness and says that he has fellowship, he doesn't have fellowship. But if you walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. Jesus and us have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. To be with him. Let me share a couple things. I think we know this, but I just want to remind us how important it is to our Lord Jesus Christ to be with us. In John 17, when he is praying to his Father, at verse 24, this is one of the things that he asks the Father. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. I want them with me. It's an amazing thing to stop and ponder that creatures we are, rescued out of sin and darkness and still in this human form and state, he wants to be with us. He asks the Father. And you know he's not just talking about his own, because in that same prayer he said, I pray not only for these, but all of those that will believe through their word. John 13 and verse, there's a wonderful word here in John 13 and verse 1, where Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet. Says this way, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved us. He wants to be with us. In Luke 22, it says, before he had that last supper with them, the King James word is with desire, I desire to be with you. One of them puts, it's just intense desire that he would be with us. I guess bottom line, what I'm trying to say, I see how important it was to Jesus that this woman would lavish what she had upon him. We look forward to what it's like in his presence to exalt him and praise him. Why wait till then? It should be busy in us now. And so I guess what I come down to is he wants to be with us. He wants to work through us. He wants to do through us if we will yoke up with him what's on his heart. We'll be there. We'll be doing a part of it, but it's his doing. When we abide in him, it's his work. Without me, you can do nothing. But he will, by the Spirit of God, be exalted in our lives. If we will desire that, we will long for that, we will ask for that. So before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I would just, in my own life, I want to always evaluate where I'm at with the Lord, what's on my heart, what I want to do for him, what I want God to do through me. And I just ask that for all of us, that we would be like the woman, willing to, whatever it is, to lavish our life on him. To look forward to that time in his presence where we're exalting him. With that 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, and we'll be there some in that crowd. That our life here will magnify him. And that's what Paul's desire, that whether by life or death. And then he went on to say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He just wanted that Christ would be magnified through his life. And I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a little chorus, in my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. And I would just urge, as I search my own heart, that we are at that place desiring, whatever the cost is, that he be glorified. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for paying the price. I thank you that you came and you humbled yourself from the glory of heaven and left all the beauty of heaven and the worship of all the angels and came and walked among us to rescue us. But then we read that the Father has so exalted you and lifted you up, and that every name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord to the glory of the Father. Thank you that you are in the Father's presence, but you are here with us today. And we want to honor you as we remember you today. And I would say, Lord, in my life, be glorified. May that become very important to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
and free. Trust you can stay with us and fellowship together. But Lord Jesus, thank you again for all you've done. And we just ask you continue to work and direct through our lives, to grow in you and to abide in you and to yoke up with you and to know the grace of you to work through us. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.